Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. You know, there's a fight. It's quite a battle against human trafficking. We associate that with sex trafficking, and certainly that's a big part of it. Labor trafficking has been a growing part of human trafficking as well. And this is not happening in the shadows anymore. There's been a lot of efforts. Right now, the effort is toward scalable, cyber activity. Data centers, encrypted networks, software that we all use every day. This is how we're fighting human trafficking. What's it like on these new battle lines? We're going to find out today as Sean Finema, co-founder and president of Deliver Fund, and then tech expert Ian Caltabiano from Deliver Fund. Going to be joining us today. They're a Montana-connected nonprofit that's using these counter-terrorism and counter-technology techniques to hunt down traffickers and set victims free. Today on Voices. A lot of facts that we'll share here. A lot of these are not very encouraging. However, when we talk about what Deliver Fund has done, 3,000 plus intelligence reports, training law enforcement personnel around the country as well, and their boosted intelligence collection efficiency over 1,000%. So what are these new tools and how effective are they in this battle against human trafficking? Let's get to it here today. And you might be surprised at how much you can affect some change here as well. Welcoming our guest, Sean Finema, president, co-founder of Deliver Fund. And we'll have him talk about what Deliver Fund is. It's, I think, new and pretty exciting. John, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. And thanks for having us on here. And we've been around here at Deliver Fund for about 10 years now as a nonprofit and fighting human trafficking by basically building technology that helps officers do a lot of the work that would normally take them days, weeks, or months. And we do that in hours or minutes now to help find traffickers and get actionable intelligence in the right hands.
I got to imagine that's a very exciting part of this battle against human trafficking. Director of Technology at Deliver Fund, the guy who's sitting back and throwing ideas at the wall and seeing what sticks, is Ian Caltabiano. Ian, how you doing, sir?
Doing great. It's great to be here today.
Thanks.
You know, any chance I get to be on and talk about tech and people get to listen about that, it's a great thing. I'm sure it spares Sean a few headaches of having to listen to me about it. So.
Go ahead and share. I mean, we're a news-oriented program, and so I think we're used to getting in and digging in a little deeper on things here, too. Sean, maybe you start with your organization, but I just threw it out there. You know, you have folks like Ian, and as we chatted briefly before the show as well, you had talked about, and Ian as well, how the people that you guys are associated with are of such high quality. Fighting this battle gives you a lot of confidence, a lot of faith.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I have the great privilege to work with both some amazing engineers and some amazing analysts directly in the development role. Deliver Fund's metrics really, really tell that story quite well. So one of the ones that we're really proud of is the fact that we have the largest and cleanest set of illicit advertisement data in the human trafficking space. And that's all due to the outstanding work of our team and the technology that we're able to put out. You know, Sean and I are here today, but it's the two of us with a bunch of other people who are making a huge difference. I'm sure we'll get back to talk about some of those metrics in a moment here, but, you know, it's we're able to do what we do, not just because of the technology, but because of the people behind it, for sure.
Yeah, that's Ian Caltabiano again. And Sean, why don't you launch into more of what Deliver Fund is? It's got a Montana connection. You guys have an office in Dallas, but also in Whitefish, Montana.
Yeah, our headquarters is up in Whitefish. So we were originally headquartered in Dallas, but Nick McKinley, our founder and CEO, was originally a Montana native. So he wanted to move back to Montana and eventually did. And we slowly but surely moved our headquarters back up to Whitefish area where most of our employees are now.
Nice. I'm happy for you.
We're all much happier here.
Yeah, I'm sure you are if you can afford a home.
We're still working on a few people. They haven't yet come to see the light about how much better Montana is than everywhere else.
We're
getting there.
Yeah, it shouldn't take that much. Hey, come up and visit here. Okay, yes, you can stay in the guest room for the next two months.
Some people enjoy 110 degree weather in the summer. Okay. I just don't understand it.
Let's get into this. Deliver Fund, Sean. How did it start? You mentioned Nick McKinley McKinney, I guess. Pardon me. A lot of CIA experience. Just launch into it. What's exciting about Deliver Fund?
So the exciting thing is that we've taken what Nick learned at the CIA and as a former pararescueman, and he did counterterrorism for a job for a long period of time. And what he found was that the human trafficking space could be fought in the same way that terrorism can be fought. And so when he encountered human trafficking at his previous roles and found that there was nobody there to take that ball and run with it, no government agency could take this case on and do anything with it, that's when he decided he wanted to take it upon himself to start a nonprofit to do that. And so he found me because I was a tech nerd and worked in the gun store in New Mexico that he frequented when he was in town. Mm. And we got together. I started standing up the tech side of things. And basically, we implemented his counterterrorism methodologies into the human trafficking space. And it worked really well because traffickers have to follow a very similar workflow to traffic victims as a terrorist does to perform all of their illicit activities.
I think one of the big things that Sean is referencing here, it's a really big part of our thesis at Deliver Fund. It's something we call the 10 points of disruption. For anyone who's listening, if you go check out our website, Nick McKinley has put out a fantastic paper going through all of that. But basically the key insight that Nick figured out was that this problem ultimately is economical in nature. How do you disrupt the market for human trafficking? And so the 10 points of disruption, these are things such as advertisement, customer communication, workforce transportation. This is all on our website, by the way. You should go check it out. But if you introduce obstacles at each of these points of disruption, you make it much harder for the human trafficker to participate in committing these crimes. This also makes it easier for law enforcement to say, these are the places where we need to be paying particular attention. So the combination of using law enforcement this methodology and inserting obstacles along the way really does work. And this is a methodology we've seen pay off in the fight against human trafficking.
Hey, Sean, why don't you launch into that? Because one of the things that you guys have, and when I look at your website, it's a nice website, you guys, the problem, you can join the fight. There's a law enforcement section, deliverfund.org. Talk about that nationwide training, those boots on the ground kind of thing. You're scaling up. You're, as you noted, fighting this in a scalable manner. But it still has to be fought with boots on the ground. So training is a big key.
Oh, it's a huge deal. So we have several analysts that work for us that work directly with law enforcement. And we will send them out to law enforcement departments to do trainings for them, and we'll teach them how we do what we do. We find, all these different things on the open web, and take our data points, find the traffickers, pinpoint what is trafficking, what is, potentially prostitution and potentially not illegal. That's a very rare case, but it does happen. And we teach the officers how to, focus on the trafficker, not so much the victim, because if you don't have traffickers, then you don't have victims. So we basically just run all these officers through our training, teach them how to do what we do, what our analysts do for them, and try and spread that knowledge out. And then we give them access to our tools and our data to help them do their job, better, faster, and cheaper. And then on top of that, our analysts are always working with these departments hand in hand. Anytime they need help with an investigation, our analysts are able to chime in and quickly generate intelligence reports for all these departments and help them find those traffickers when they maybe don't have enough time. Or in many cases, these law enforcement departments don't have a specific team or a task force to fight human trafficking. It might be their drug trafficking or their drug team is, you know, assigned a case that might be human trafficking adjacent, or maybe they're working on some other, maybe it's a murder case, but they don't even know that human trafficking was a part of it. So our data can help reveal those links to where, you know, when they're building a case, they can hand it over to a prosecutor and see that, hey, human trafficking is an additional charge against this person when they might have only been arrested for, you know, these other couple of charges.
And I just want to chip in here and add, you know, one of Deliver Fund's primary mission is to advise, train, and equip law enforcement with regards to this. So we're talking a little bit about the training side here, but Sean also alluded to how we advise and equip too, right? There's the technology part. There's how we provide the, we provide help to law enforcement, how we train law enforcement. And then there's also a fantastic other side, the analyst side, that's all about working with law enforcement actively along every stage of this. So it's a really fantastic model with how we're able to coordinate with law enforcement, work with law enforcement on multiple thrusts in this issue, in this space.
That's Ian Caltabiano, who's Director of Technology at Deliver Fund. Also, Sean Fenema with us here, co-founder and president, deliverfund.org. For more information, I'm looking right now at those 10 points of obstruction, as you noticed, noted. I'm curious, Ian, you know, how long before these kinds of employable tools are readily accessible on the ground for our law enforcement officers?
They already are. So it's, we're really proud to say that we have law enforcement using our technology, our data right now. And I'm sure Sean can talk a little bit more to the specifics of that, but it's technology that's already been developed. It's already being used and it's constantly being improved upon. So that's a really exciting thing for us to be able to say.
Sean, you're one of the, you know, you've got a lot of banking and business experience, a lot of technical expertise as well. You know, when you talk about scalability, you we think large, but you're trying to scale it large down to that pinpoint efficiency for that officer on the ground. You know, what do you see in that part of this battle here?
So we've tried to make things as simple as possible in the technology front. The last thing any officer wants, or, you know, anyone trying to do a job really, is another pane of glass to log into. The more tools you have to log into every day, the less efficient you're going to be. So what we've tried to focus on is putting our data into the tools that law enforcement are already using to do their job. So we've partnered with some other software platforms that already are being purchased by law enforcement departments to help it perform investigations. And now, you know, if the law enforcement officer in certain areas, you know, queries a phone number for any particular reason, it might show up with a result that says, hey, there's potentially some human trafficking activity behind this phone number. Do you want to learn some more? And we can give them the results from that. So our data is being put through these several other platforms, and that reaches thousands of law enforcement departments all over the country, to include federal agencies. We also have our internal platforms, the Pathfinder platform that we're working on a rebrand of, that we, you know, we'll give access to law enforcement directly to our data that way. So they can, you know, if they don't have these other software platforms, which can be expensive for departments to purchase, we'll give them access to our data directly so they can just log into our software and query it for free.
Ian, you know, there's something else that...
Go ahead, Ian.
Yeah. There's something else we should mention too is, you know, we've been talking a lot about law enforcement, but the fight's not just for law enforcement to take part in, right? It's about protecting your family as well. One of the ways we did make our data available was that we actually developed an app that's available on iPhone, not on Android, just on iPhone, that's available for you to go ahead and actually look up numbers to see if it's associated with potential human trafficking activity. And you'll get a red flag or a green flag. We made this available because we wanted to use our technology to help families protect themselves as well, right? In this day and age where it's increasingly easier for children to be exploited through access to technology, we wanted to put our tooling out there to help with that aspect, because that's a huge part of what feeds into the human trafficking issue. So this app is available. It's out there. The information for that's also on our website. It's called HT Safeguard. But it's the same data. We just we surface it in a much more limited way for the consumers, obviously. But that was one of the ways we also made our data available. And it's because it's not just a matter of law enforcement fighting this issue. It's about how you as an individual can keep your family safe.
Child trafficking. Children now make up 38% of all detected victims worldwide. It's increased 31% from 2019 to 2022. And of course, 38% increase in trafficked females, young females. That's the saddest part in my mind of how we're overlooking this problem at times. And welcome back here. It's From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. We're peeling into this with a company, deliverfund.org. It's a nonprofit. It's totally donated donation supported. There you go. Thank you very much. Sean Fenham is with us, president, co-founder, and chief information officer. And Ian Caltabiano is with us as well, director of technology. I shared this, and I just shared it with Sean and Ian as well, but I've talked about it here before. There was a House Oversight Committee hearing recently where it was revealed that when the Biden administration, again, those borders were open, there was a serious problem with unaccompanied minors, some 300,000 unaccounted for is the number, maybe 125,000 now, they say. They have pulled back and I would say rescued from that situation. But there was a hotline set up, you guys. 65,000 calls went unanswered. When the Biden administration opened up the borders and had this issue, they created this hotline for kids that they were sending out to who knows where. And they said, look, if you get into trouble, call this. And 65,000 calls went unanswered in a short period of time. That, for me, Sean, is a very significant problem about how we take human, especially child trafficking, seriously or not.
You know, as a father with one daughter and one soon to come, you know, just hearing about children just really makes my heart hurt, mm-hmm. right? But it really, really just cuts to the heart of the issue of what we're trying to solve at Deliver Fund, right? The truth is law enforcement doesn't have the tools and the equipment to fight this issue at the scale it needs to be fought with, right? I'm sure we're going to talk about this later as we start talking about how these threat actors are using these technologies today, right? But the truth is children are getting exploited and hurt and abused. And, you know, who's helping law enforcement? Who's supporting law enforcement to effectively fight that, right? It's something that we really hold near and dear to our hearts at Deliver Fund. It's really important for us to help provide those tools to make a huge impact and difference in this fight.
Well, let's get into it now. Ian, what are the tools that this industry is using and what are you countering with?
You know, I think the big one that's on everyone's mind right now, this has even made it into the mainstream media recently, is about how AI is being used to generate explicit photography, mm-hmm. right? And I'm not going to go into too great of detail here on that. It's absolutely disgusting and horrible stuff what's happening, right? But the truth is that these technologies are out there that trivialize the creation of this material. And the horrible truth about it is that a lot of these technologies are even trained on the data that is based off of the exploitation of these children. So part of the issue is that the technology is becoming more and more mainstream, right? It's becoming easier and easier for traffickers to generate content, whether it's generate advertisement postings or graphic imagery, right? And it's technology lets scale overwhelm resources. So one of the things we realize is that we need to use some of these technologies, artificial intelligence in particular, to help act as a force multiplier for our analysts. So a really good example of this is one of our preliminary screening methodologies involves using an in-house and in-developed technology to identify potential human trafficking signal in advertisement text. This surfaces the information to our analysts and they can make more informed decisions faster. It really comes down to better, faster, and cheaper, right? Can our analysts do more work for less time and less money, right?
Yeah.
It's the same thing technology provides to law enforcement, right? Especially when we're donation funded, right? If we're donation funded, like how do we make each donor dollar go further and hit harder? So technology provides a really clean answer to that because it lets our analysts make decisions faster and more effectively at a greater scale. And that's really important, especially as we talk about the support of generous donors and we talk about the organizations we in turn are supporting, helping fill in that gap.
Sean, what keeps you up at night when you look at this landscape?
the thing that keeps me up at night is the scale of the issue, I think. So with like the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, NCMEC, as we refer to them, between 2010 and 2015, they reported a 846% increase in suspected child trafficking cases. It's just staggering how large this problem really is. And it's not something that, you know, we can fight alone, which is why we try the methodology that we do in spreading the knowledge, spreading the wealth of information that we have, getting people to use tools and technology to do things at scale, do it faster, do it cheaper. It really can't be solved any other way. And I think the reason this is such a prominent issue now and the reason it exploded has a lot to do with the advent of smartphones and, you know, the access to the internet, basically. Mm-hmm. So all these advertisements go up. Basically, you can find people for sale on the internet the same way you can go find food for sale, and you can order them just about as easily. It's terrible to think about, but that's the sad truth of it. So as easy as it is for you to do that on a phone now, think about how much harder it was to go order something on the internet 20 years ago. Well, it was the same way for human trafficking. It used to be more difficult for a trafficker to advertise their product. And sadly, that's, you know, a trafficking victim to a trafficker is just a product. It's a way they make money. Yeah. So with the advent of new technologies, new ways to use the technologies, the cell phone in your pocket, that makes it so much easier for them to do their job and transact business. And so that's why we use these same tools against them. If they have to post ads on the internet if they want to get the word out that they have something that they want to sell. So we use those ads against them. We take all that information and we make sure that that information is easily accessible to anyone in the law enforcement community that can look for that trafficker and go make an arrest.
Well, I'm glad they leave a trail like that nowadays, too. And data is king. I think we all know that. And there's new ways that we're using data and new ways to collecting data. Are we doing it legally? I mean, that's the question. Constitutionality is a question here, especially when it comes to enforcement. You know, we are still innocent until proven guilty. I got less than a couple of minutes. Ian, do you want to pick up on that? Yeah.
I'm so glad you're asking that question because it's such a hugely important one. One of the very first exercises that Deliver Fund has any of its employees do is it sees how fast can you find human trafficking happening wherever you're living, right? So when I was hired almost 6 years ago, within 2 minutes, I was able to find it through a series of Google searches. That's how public this information is. That's how blatant it is, right?
Yeah.
More experienced analysts can do this inside of 20, 30 seconds. The point I'm making here is all this information that we're collecting and organizing and aggregating, it's not hidden behind logins. It's not hidden anywhere. It's there in plain sight. It's right there behind Google searches. That's how easily accessible it is to you or to your children or to anyone else who's a potential target for exploitation. And it's that easily accessible for potential customers, right?
Yeah.
So when we talk about legality, you know, we care organizationally a great deal about it, tremendously. There's a sea of information out there that's just a Google search away.
Boy, as the technology increases opportunities for perpetrators out there, technology also plays a big part in this battle against human trafficking. Welcome back. You're from Montana, for Montana, Voices of Montana. We're talking with people on the front lines in this battle against human trafficking. In a new sense, Deliver Fund, they are a nonprofit organization. Now they're based in Whitefish, totally donor-funded, nationwide training. They do so much on the consumer front as well. They have got a safeguard app. Deliver Fund's HT safeguard app can be a game changer for families. So we're going to move into that discussion as well. The human trafficking picture has grown globally. How do you fight that battle? How do you recognize that battle here at home? Sean Fenema is with us and also Ian Caltabiano. And thank you guys again for being here. Let's just... wherever you want to go with this, Sean, but I'm curious about some of the logistics. You know, as people, they might want to help, but they're thinking, "Wow, I can't run a computer. I'm not going to know how to plug in even a phone number." You know, talk about engaging the public in this aspect. You guys are very much behind the scenes with new technology as well and working with law enforcement, but you're also concerned about that front end and the family side. Maybe talk about that from the logistics that you guys go through.
Yeah, on that front, we get a lot of people that want to help out, and I really appreciate them reaching out to us. Unfortunately, a lot of the work we do is not something that we would want to farm out to a volunteer.
Right.
Just having to sift through the illicit imagery that we do on a regular basis is not something that I would want most of the public to have to do. The best way to support us is just by donating at deliverfund.org. But there's not much else that I can really offer in terms of volunteer work.
Share some of those logistics, though, that you guys do.
Yeah, so like we've talked about, as far as our data goes, we collect online illicit advertisements from these traffickers that are advertising their products online. At the moment, we have something like 25 million images of potential trafficking victims. We have unique email addresses, over 400,000 of those, unique phone numbers, 6.5 million of those. As far as like the advertisements themselves, we call them records, but there's, I think, about 300 million of those. We're collecting over 30,000 a day at this point. It's a pretty staggering amount of data to think about. It's also a pretty expensive thing to do. So anybody feels like donating to that cause, we'd really appreciate it.
Where does it point to where the problem is?
So the problem is basically, in order for these people to do business, they have to advertise their products, and we're going to take that data and use it against them. So they have to put some type of contact information in these advertisements. And we're going to use that contact information to help tie an identity to that trafficker, because obviously their name and social security number or whatever are not in these advertisements. So we have to do a lot of digging and sleuthing online to tie these advertisements to an actual person.
Do you know who's doing it, though? Again, we hear about organized crime, but, is it organized crime from overseas? Is it five major players that, shop their services out to 1,000 minor players? Who is behind it all?
The organized versions do exist. You do see massage parlors or illicit massage businesses, as we like to call them. Those are somewhat often run by foreign entities. And we do keep data on those as well that we share with law enforcement when they're trying to run those operations. By and large, though, this is an individual trafficker that gets a hold of, maybe five victims, and they run them all over their state, if not several bordering states. Mm-hmm. And they just run them all over these places, put up advertisements for where they're at that night or the following couple of nights, and then they get them back in the car and go to the next place and list more advertisements the next day.
Mm-hmm. Ian, go ahead. I know you want to weigh in on that, but I'm going to have you also address the job, as you saw it, when our borders flew open. And we saw 10 to maybe 20 million illegal or undocumented, however you want to describe it, come into the country. There was probably some red flags going off on some of your computers.
Yeah, the thing about human trafficking is that frequently, not always, like Sean said, there's a number of other factors that contribute to it. Some of these organized syndicates that lead into these businesses, especially in those massage businesses. But frequently, human trafficking starts off as a crime of opportunity. Right. So what I mean by that is think about the abusive spouse, right? And think about how that's a story that plays out again and again, translates into eventually culminating in being sold for sex. Think about individual opportunistic situations like that. So when we talked about the border crisis in particular, and it is a crisis, we really start to pull in some of those elements that lead to the increased opportunism, right? And think about it this way, right? Human trafficking is an economy. It's an economy at scale. It's a terrifying and horrifying economy, but it exists through supply and demand. What this does is it creates the opportunity for that economy to expand, right? And that's a huge issue. Now, the fortunate thing about it being treated like an economic problem is it gives us the opportunity to work on those points of disruption, right? So if you recall this, you know, Nick put out these 10 points of disruption, great stuff, it's available on our website. Those 10 points of disruption talk about points of disruption in an illicit marketplace. So that's one of the keys to how we're able to look at these swells and opportunity that lead to increased human trafficking outcomes and look at how we can efficiently target and interact with those. If we're able to disrupt at those points of disruption, we're able to curtail any impact that those increases in opportunity might bring about.
Ian Caltabiano again, and then Sean Fenema. Sean, I'm going to ask you this question, but I'm going to roll through this so people can get an idea of what these 10 points, first opportunity of disruption are, realization of market opportunity, a workforce recruitment, worker control. You guys, we've talked a lot about advertisement. Customer communication is another one of those. Workforce transport, services rendered, payments, banking, and legal compliance. That's a lot of areas in order, you know, where you can work to disrupt this. Sean, whatever you want. We're kind of running out of time here. I want to make sure you get everything out there that you want to talk about in this regard. You're the one who's kind of putting all the books and making sure, you know, everything pencils out in the black. How does the rest of the world, how's America tackling this problem? Are there people looking away deliberately? Give us that sense worldwide and nationally about this awareness, since this is what this month is all about.
From an awareness perspective, you're absolutely right, and you're hitting on a key point that a lot of people do intentionally look away from the problem, and they don't want to admit that it exists. A lot of people are under the impression that human trafficking is something that happens overseas and not in America, and a lot of people think that, you know, it's people being trafficked, you know, from outside America to America, but by and large, it is American citizens being trafficked within the American border. There are, of course, other trafficking problems outside of America, but we have an enormous problem right here in our own country, which is why we're dedicated to fighting it inside our own country.
Yeah, I'm going to say, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to add on, the thing that people want to turn a blind eye to is calling it prostitution. While in some areas, a very, very small section of the country, prostitution is legal. Prostitution is often looked at as a, you know, blanket cover for what could be human trafficking. And people want to believe that they're buying, services from a prostitute who is willing and wants to do this for them. But in reality, there's a pimp, in the next hotel room over or in the parking lot in the car, and they don't realize it. It is illegal where they're at, but they still believe that this is a willing participant in these actions, in this transactional world, and it's not. And that's what people are turning a blind eye to, and they don't want to believe that what they're doing is actually victimizing someone, not just paying them for a service.
That's why we need awareness in these kinds of discussions as well, and you need it kind of constantly. Ian Caltabiano, let's talk about kind of what are you doing now, but also reiterate how families can use some of the things that you guys are developing to feel more safe and be more safe in today's environment.
Yeah, so look, when it comes to families protecting themselves, there's two ways to do that. The first is through things internal to the family. So we have a lot of great resources on our website that go over many ways to do this, but one of the big ones, social media, Roblox, all these surfaces that are services and technology that are designed for kids to go out and interact with strangers, those are huge, huge, huge red flags, and parents should be absolutely terrified about letting their kids use them. Yeah. One thing I absolutely have to commend Australia for is the legislation they passed that basically prevents social media access for kids under the age of 16. Things like that make a difference, because how do human traffickers find the people they prey upon? They do it online in the darkness of anonymity on the internet, right? Protecting your family means closing off that avenue of attack. So that's one huge one. That's so important for me to get out there to everyone who's listening. But the other side to that too, like I've expressed at this interview, my background's in technology, right? And we develop technology. Now, we provide a much more sophisticated version of this technology to law enforcement. We did develop an app called HD Safeguard, available on iOS, iPhone and Mac, or iPad, that lets you look up if phone numbers or email addresses are potentially attached to human trafficking activity. Now, it doesn't mean that they are, but if you put a phone number or email into this app and it says, hey, here's a red flag, that means you as a parent should be slightly more concerned and keep a little bit more of a careful eye out on your kid, right? Just to make sure everything's going on, right?
Yeah.
No parent wants to see their kid hurt. And it takes a lot of work in this day and age where technology is everywhere to keep our kids safe. You know, you asked Sean what keeps him up at night. This is what keeps me up at night, right?
Sean, how do we know you're making a difference?
Well, we know we're making a difference because we work very closely with law enforcement, and they're able to share arrests and prosecutions with us pretty frequently. And a lot of times we'll get reports back from them that the trafficker they arrested was prosecuted, and we'll see that come through in one of our apps that reports back on names that we've highlighted. So we want to know when our data was used for good, and we do get a lot of those reports back. So we know what we do works. We know it's scalable. We know that the more officers that we can put our training into, the more officers use our data, the more traffickers we can put behind bars.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe it too. I think we'll start seeing some of these numbers they'll go down. We're talking about increased traffic victims, 25% between 2019 and 2022. I think we're going to kind of get in front of that. Just got maybe about, I only got like a minute and a half here. Ian, real quick, what idea have you thrown to the wall that's stuck that you're working on now?
I think one of the big things that's really stuck is continuing to focus on the paradigm of how do we make things better, faster, and cheaper, mm-hmm. right? You know, that impact goes from donor to organization to law enforcement. And every place where we can magnify that and we can make it work harder just makes such a huge difference.
Yeah.
Right. Where we can use technology to help our analysts, our fantastic analysts, do two more records a minute, that makes a difference. It adds up and it makes a huge impact. It's about supporting the technology and perhaps even more importantly, supporting the legal frameworks around that empower law enforcement to use these technologies to fight this issue.
Sean, when do you guys celebrate? I've got 30 seconds on this. When do you look back and go, oh, we'll keep at it? I mean, it's hard in this kind of environment to kind of keep at it. When do you celebrate?
Every time we see a Slack post of a social media or a news posting where our data got used to put a trafficker behind bars. Yeah. And we keep up with that very frequently. And it's a little celebration every time we see those.
Good, good. Keep doing that. And we should all as well. Deliverfund.org. Search them for more information on how you can help. It's Sean Fenema, co-founder and president, and then also director of technology. It's Ian Caltabiano. You guys, I'll look forward to chatting with you down the road, too. This battle goes on. Thank you for getting out there on the front lines, and thank everybody at your office and your staff for us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.